This is Audible.
Time Warner Audiobooks presents Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential, written by Joel Osteen and read by the author.
Hi, this is Pastor Joel Osteen. The future is yours for the taking. It's an often quoted expression of hope passed on to graduating seniors, new employees, and wide-eyed couples on their wedding days. Yet we all know that while some people grab life with enthusiasm and take control of their future, such a grandiose promise doesn't always pan out for everybody. Why is that? Happy, successful, fulfilled individuals have learned how to live their best lives now. They make the most of the present moment and thereby enhance their future. You can too. No matter where you are or what challenges you are facing, you can enjoy your life right now. Many people go through life with low self-esteem, focusing on the negative, feeling inferior or inadequate, always dwelling on some reason why they can't be happy. Others put off their happiness to some future date. Someday things will get better in my life. Someday I'll be caught up with my work long enough to enjoy making memories with my family. Someday I'll earn enough money that I won't have to worry about how I can pay the bills. Someday I'm going to get in better physical condition. Someday I'll have a better relationship with God and enjoy more of His goodness. Today is the only day we have. We can't do anything about the past, and we don't know what the future holds, but we can live at our full potential right now. Within this program, you will find 7 simple yet profound steps that can improve your life, regardless of your current level of success or lack of it. And I know these steps work because they've worked in the lives of my family members, friends, and associates, as well as my own life. I'm confident that if you will take these steps along with me, ultimately you will be happier than you've ever been before, living with joy, peace, and enthusiasm, not just for a day or a week, but for the rest of your life. Are you ready to develop your full potential? Let's get started. It's time to begin living your best life now. Enlarging your vision. I heard a story about a man in Hawaii on vacation with his wife. He was a good man who had achieved a modest measure of success, but he was coasting along thinking that he had already reached his limits in life. One day, a friend was driving him around on the island showing him the sights. At one point, they stopped to admire a gorgeous house set high on a hill. The property was replete with beautiful palm trees and lush green gardens in a picturesque, peaceful setting with a panoramic view overlooking the ocean. As the man gazed at the magnificent home, he commented to his wife and friend, "I just can't even imagine living in a place like that." Right there, something inside him said, "Don't worry, you won't. You will never live in a great place like that." Startled at his own thoughts, he asked himself, "What do you mean?" "As long as you can imagine it, as long as you can't see it, then it is not going to happen for you." The man correctly realized that his own thoughts and attitudes were condemning him to mediocrity. He determined then and there to start believing better of himself and believing better of God. It's the same way with us. We have to conceive it on the inside before we're ever going to receive it on the outside. If you don't think you can have something good, then you never will. The barrier is in your mind. It's not God's lack of resources or your lack of talent that prevents you from prospering. No, your own wrong thinking can keep you from God's best. You too may have assumed that you've already peaked, that you've reached your limits in life, that you will never be more successful. Sad to say, you are exactly right, unless you are willing to change your thinking. That's why the first step to living at your full potential is to enlarge your vision. To live your best life now, you must start looking at your life through your eyes of faith, seeing yourself rising to new levels. See your business taking off, see your marriage restored, see your family prospering. see your dreams coming to pass. You must conceive it and believe it is possible if you ever hope to experience it. To conceive it, you must get an image on the inside of the life you want to live on the outside. It has to become a part of you, in your thoughts, your conversation, deep down in your subconscious mind, in your actions, in every part of your being. From the time she was a little girl, Tara Holland dreamed of becoming Miss America. In 1994, she entered the Miss Florida pageant, and she won the title of first runner-up. She decided to try it again the following year. She entered the same contest and once again won the prize of first runner-up. She decided she needed to change her environment, so she moved to Kansas, and in 1997, she entered the Miss Kansas pageant and won the title. That same year, she went on to be crowned Miss America. Tara Holland saw her dream come to pass. In an interview after the pageant, someone asked Tara the secret to her success. She admitted that after she had lost twice in a row at the state-level competitions, she had been tempted to give up. But instead, she went out and rented videos of every pageant she could find. Local pageants, state pageants, Miss Teen, Miss Universe, Miss World, whatever she could find. She rented hundreds of videos of various pageants and watched them over and over again. As Tara watched each young woman crowned a winner, she pictured herself in that situation. She pictured herself receiving the crown. She pictured herself walking down the runway in victory. Time and time again, she envisioned herself winning. Seeing herself as a winner, said Tara, was the key to her success. Tara Holland knew that she would never be a winner until she first saw herself as a winner. She had to reprogram her mind to rid herself as much as possible of the hurtful memories of losing. She had to replace that vision in her mind of herself as Ms. Runner-Up. She had to develop a can-do attitude. She saw herself stepping on the winner's platform. She saw herself walking down that runway in victory. She created an environment of faith and success. What you keep before your eyes will affect you. You will produce what you're continually seeing in your mind. If you foster an image of defeat and failure, then you're going to live that kind of life. But if you develop an image of victory, success, health, abundance, joy, peace, and happiness, nothing on earth will be able to hold those things from you. Centuries ago, wine was stored in leather wineskins rather than bottles. Animal skins were dried and cured until the leather could be shaped into containers to hold the wine. When the wineskins were new, they were soft and pliable, but as they aged, they often lost their elasticity. They wouldn't give anymore. They would become hardened and set, and they couldn't expand. If a person poured new wine into an old wineskin, the container would burst and the wine would be lost. Interestingly, when Jesus wanted to encourage his followers to enlarge their vision, he reminded them, "You can't put new wine into old wineskins." Jesus was saying that you cannot have a larger life with restricted attitudes. That lesson is still relevant today. We are set in our ways, bound by our perspective, and stuck in our thinking. God is trying to do something new, but unless we're willing to change, unless we're willing to expand and enlarge our vision, we'll miss His opportunities for us. Early in our marriage, Victoria and I were out walking through our neighborhood one day when we came upon a beautiful new home in the final stages of construction. The doors were open, so we stepped inside and looked around. It was a fabulous home, much prettier than any of the other homes in that community. Most of the other homes around us were one-story, ranch-style homes that were 40 to 50 years old. But this house was a large two-story home with high ceilings and large windows, providing an appealing view of the backyard. It was a lovely, inspiring place. When we came out of the house, Victoria was excited. She turned around, looked back at the home, and said, "Joel, one day we're going to live in a beautiful home just like that." At the time, we were living in an extremely old house that had experienced some foundation problems, preventing all the doors on the inside from closing properly. We had stretched our faith and spent everything we had just to buy that home and get into that neighborhood. Thinking of our bank account and my income at the time, it seemed impossible to me that we'd ever work our way up to a home like the one we had toured. But Victoria had much more faith than I did. She told me all the reasons why it could happen. I told her all the reasons why I doubted. She said, "No, Joel, I feel it deep inside. It's going to happen." She was so filled with joy, I didn't want to burst her bubble, so I let the matter drop. But Victoria didn't. Over the next several months, she kept speaking words of faith and victory, and she finally talked me into it. She convinced me that we could live in an elegant home like the one we saw. I got rid of my limited thinking, and I started agreeing with her. I started believing that somehow, some way, God could bring it to pass. Several years later, we sold our property, and through another real estate deal, we were able to build a house just like the one we had viewed. We saw it come to pass. But I don't believe it would have ever happened had we not first conceived it on the inside. I don't believe it would have happened if Victoria had not talked me in to enlarging my vision. God has so much more in store for you, too. Start making room for it in your own thinking. Conceive it on the inside. Start seeing yourself rising to a new level, doing something of significance, living in that home of your dreams. If you look carefully, you will see that God has been trying to encourage you. He's allowed people to cross your path who are far more successful than you are, who have much stronger marriages, who are enjoying His favor in marvelous ways. When you see or hear about other people succeeding or doing what you want to do, be encouraged rather than jealous. Don't say, "That could never happen to me. I'm not that talented. I'll never get those kind of breaks. I'll never have that much money." Get rid of those old wineskins. Change your thinking. Get beyond the barriers of the past and start expecting God to do great things in your life. Understand, God is constantly trying to plant new seeds in your heart. He's constantly trying to get you to conceive, to give up old, antiquated ideas, and spawn new bursts of creativity within. The key is for us to believe. We've got to let the seed take root so that it can grow. It's time to enlarge your vision. Maybe God wants to improve your marriage, or wants to restore your family, or to promote you at work, but that seed of opportunity can't take root because of your doubts. "How could my business ever take off and begin to flourish? I've got so many obstacles, it's just impossible." God is saying to you something similar to what He told the Virgin Mary and others throughout Scripture. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. God said, "It's going to be by my Spirit. The power of the Most High God shall come upon you and cause it to happen." And with God on your side, you can't possibly lose. He can make a way even when it looks like there is no way. He can open up doors that no man can shut. He can cause you to be at the right place at the right time. He can supernaturally turn your life around. Jesus said, "If you believe, then all things are possible." My question to you is, will you believe? Will you allow that seed to take root? The angel told Mary that she would conceive without knowing a man. In other words, God was saying it can happen through supernatural means. It can happen without the bank loaning you the money. It can happen without having the right education. It can happen in spite of your past. It can happen in spite of what the critics are telling you. With God, all things are possible. When we got the news that the Compact Center might be coming available, some of my initial thoughts were similar to Mary's. How could we ever get that facility? It's going to be too expensive. The city will never let a church use that. It's much too prominent. But this time, I expanded my vision. I let the seed take root. I conceived it on the inside. I began to see our congregation worshiping God in the Compact Center in the heart of Houston. Sure enough, 3.5 years later, against strong adversity, God turned the situation around, and He brought us out with the victory. God wants to do big things in your life as well. Don't settle for a small view of God. We serve the God that created the universe. We've got to eliminate this barely get by mentality. God, if you'll just give me a 50-cent raise, I think I can make it this year. Or God, if you'll just help me to endure this marriage. God, all I want is a little happiness. No, get rid of those old wineskins. Get rid of that small-minded thinking and start thinking like God. Think big. Think increase. Think abundance. Think more than enough. Years ago, a famous golfer was invited by the King of Saudi Arabia to play in a golf tournament. He accepted the invitation, and the king flew his private jet over to the United States to pick up the pro. They played golf for several days and enjoyed a good time. As the golfer was getting on the plane to return to the United States, the king stopped him and said, "I want to give you a gift for coming all this way and making this time so special. Anything you want. What could I get you?" Ever the gentleman, the golfer replied, "Oh, please, don't get me anything. You've been a gracious host. I've had a wonderful time. I couldn't ask for anything more." The king was adamant. He said, "No, I insist on giving you something so you will always remember your journey to our country." When the golfer realized that the king was resolute, he said, "Okay, fine. I collect golf clubs. Why don't you give me a golf club?" He boarded the plane, and on his flight back home, he couldn't help wondering what kind of golf club that the king might give him. He imagined that it might be a solid gold putter with his name engraved on it, or maybe it would be a sand wedge studded with diamonds and jewels. After all, this would be a gift from the oil-rich king of Saudi Arabia. When the golfer got home, he watched the mail and the delivery services every day to see if his golf club had come yet. Finally, several weeks later, he received a certified letter from the King of Saudi Arabia. The golfer thought that rather strange. "Where's my golf club?" he wondered. He opened the envelope, and much to his surprise, inside he discovered a deed to a 500-acre golf course in America. Sometimes kings think differently than you and I think. And friend, we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Most High God, and His dream for your life is so much bigger and better than you can even imagine. It's time to enlarge your vision. Raising your level of expectancy. An old adage purports that if you want to be successful, you must follow your dreams. While I'd never suggest that anyone should abandon his or her dreams, the truth is, your life will follow your expectations. What you expect is what you will get. If you dwell on positive thoughts, your life will move in that direction. If you continually think negative thoughts, you will live a negative life. That's why one of the key elements to enlarging your vision will be raising your level of expectancy. You have to change your thinking before you can ever change your living. It's important that you program your mind for success. Each day, you must choose to live with an attitude that expects good things to happen to you. The Bible says, "Set your mind and keep it set on the higher things." When you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is set your mind in the right direction. Say something such as, "This is going to be a great day. God is guiding and directing my steps. His favor is surrounding me. Goodness and mercy are following me. I'm excited about today." Start your day with faith and expectancy, and then go out anticipating good things. Expect circumstances to change in your favor. Expect people to go out of their way to want to help you. Expect to be at the right place at the right time. Perhaps you work in sales, and you're scheduled to give an important presentation. You're really hoping to snag that big contract. Don't be surprised if you hear a voice whispering in your mind, "You don't have a chance. This is going to be a lousy day for you. Nothing good ever happens to you. You might as well not even get your hopes up. That way, when you don't get that great contract, you won't be too disappointed." No, don't listen to such lies. God wants you to get your hopes up. We can't even have faith without hope. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And one definition of that sort of hope is confident expectancy. we should get up in the morning confidently expecting the favor of God. Start expecting doors of opportunity to open for you. Expect to excel in your career. Expect to rise above life's challenges. Break out of your self-imposed prison. One of the common slogans among men and women who are serving long sentences in federal prison is "You've got nothing coming." It's a sad, hopeless statement, robbing the inmates of what little hope they have left. You've got no income, your kids are embarrassed to say they're even related to you, your wife isn't coming to see you, nothing is going to change in your life, you've got nothing coming. Sadly, many people on the outside are living behind self-imposed bars in prisons of their own making and have succumbed to that same type of thinking. You can break out of that prison. The door is unlocked. All you have to do is start expecting good things in your life and start believing God for a great future. You do have good things coming. You must look through your eyes of faith and start seeing yourself as happy, healthy, and whole. That means even when your situation looks bleak, when you're tempted to be discouraged or depressed, you must encourage yourself by praying, "God, I know that you're in control, and even though this looks impossible, I know today could be the day that things turn around. Today could be the day that you restore my marriage. This could be the day you bring my child home. Today may be the day my business begins to prosper exponentially. This could be the day I see my miracle." Then keep believing and watching for those good things to come to fruition in your life. You must make a conscious decision, an act of your will, to maintain an attitude of expectancy and keep your mind filled with thoughts of hope. "What if I do that and it doesn't work?" you may be asking. What if you do that and it does work? What do you have to lose by keeping your hopes alive? I can guarantee you that your difficult situation will never improve as long as you stay in a negative frame of mind. But if you'll develop an attitude of faith and expect events to change positively, then at the right time, that situation will turn around. Admittedly, sometimes good things don't happen as quickly as we would like, but instead of slouching into negative expectations, we must keep our minds set on God. Your attitude should be, "God, I know that you're at work in my life, and although the miracle I've been watching for didn't happen today, I know I'm one day closer to my prayers being answered, and I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to allow myself to become discouraged. I know that your timing is perfect, so I'm going to stay in an attitude of faith and keep trusting you to do what is best." Many people sabotage their expectations by negative comments. You know the type. "Well, nothing good ever happens to me. I don't think I'll ever get married. I haven't had a date in 10 years. I don't see how I could ever be happy again. I've just been through too much pain in life." Avoid such statements at all cost, because your actions will follow your expectations. Low expectations will trap you in mediocrity. You must think positive thoughts of victory, thoughts of abundance, thoughts of favor, thoughts of hope. Good, pure, excellent thoughts. The career of the Old Testament prophet Elijah offers some fascinating insights. Elijah experienced numerous miracles, and his understudy, Elisha, witnessed many of them. As Elijah neared the end of his life, he asked Elisha what he would like to have from his mentor. "I want a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied boldly. "I want to be twice as powerful, twice as strong, twice as blessed. I want to see twice as many miracles." Elijah simply responded, "Elisha, you've asked a very difficult thing. Nevertheless, if you can see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be done unto you. But if not, it shall not be so." Certainly, in a literal sense, Elijah was telling Elisha, if God allows you to see it, you can count on your request being granted. But we can't help but wonder if Elijah was also saying, if you can see it, then you can be it. If you can visualize it in your heart and mind, seeing it through the screen of God's Word with your spiritual eyes, it can become a reality in your life. God is extremely interested in what you see through your spiritual eyes. 7 times in the Scripture, He asks, "What do you see?" God is saying something similar to us today. If you have a vision of victory for your life, then you can rise to a new level. But as long as you have your head down, with your gaze on the ground, instead of on your possibilities, you run the risk of moving in the wrong direction and missing out on the great things God wants to do in you and through you. It's a spiritual principle as well as a psychological fact. We move toward that which we see in our mind. If you can't see it, it is not likely to come to pass in your life. Perhaps you need to change your environment. Quit sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. Quit worrying about how nothing is ever going to get better in your life. Instead, go find somewhere you can dream. It may be in a church, maybe along the banks of a stream or at a park. Find some place where you can dare to dream big dreams, a place where your faith will be elevated. Get out of that negative environment and get into an atmosphere of victory where people build you up rather than tear you down. Find a place where people will encourage you and challenge you to be the best that you can be. Find a place where people inspire you to reach for new heights. Friend, you have to see good things happening to you before they ever will. The Bible says, if you walk with wise men, then you're going to become wise. If you associate with successful people, before long you will become successful. Their enthusiasm will be contagious, and you will catch that vision. If you stay in an atmosphere of victory, before long you're going to have an image of victory. If you hang around people of faith, before long you're going to be filled with faith. But you cannot soar with the eagles as long as you're pecking around with the chickens. Let me encourage you to raise your expectations. Start seeing yourself receiving good things. Expect the favor of God. Expect His blessings. Expect increase. Expect promotion. Get up and face each day with enthusiasm, knowing that God has great things in store for you. And even when circumstances don't go your way, don't let that get you down. Keep your mind set in the right direction. If you'll do your part by continually contemplating the goodness of God, living with faith and expectancy, God will take you places that you've never even dreamed of, and you will live at a level that you have never before dared to imagine. God has good things in store for you. Let me show you how to discover them. God has more in store. Many people miss pivotal opportunities in their lives every day because they've grown accustomed to the status quo. They expect nothing better. God is opening a new door for them. All they have to do is step through it. Yet, regrettably, they back away from God's blessings. Why? They refuse to make room in their own thinking for the new things that God wants to do in their lives. When a great opportunity comes along, rather than latching on to it, launching out in faith and believing for the best, they say, "Well, that could never happen to me. That's just too good to be true." Unfortunately, what you will receive is directly connected to how you believe and what you expect. If you want God to do the extraordinary, then you must start believing Him for bigger things. What you will receive is directly connected to how you believe. You may be thinking, "I'll just work at this same job, in this same position for the rest of my life. After all, this is all I know how to do." No, quit limiting God. He may want to open up another opportunity or a better position for you. God may intervene in your situation, replacing your supervisor so you can be promoted. One day you may run that entire company. Once you begin expecting more, a second key element to enlarging your vision is believing that God has more in store for you. Many people settle for too little. "I've gone as far as my education will allow me. I've gone as far in my career as I can go. I've hit the peak. I'll never make any more money than I'm making right now." Why? Your job is not your source. God is your source, and His creativity and resources are unlimited. God may give you an idea for an invention, a book, a song, or a movie. God can give you a dream. One idea from God can forever change the course of your life. God is not limited by your education or lack of it. He's not limited by what you have or don't have. God can do anything if you believe. He can do anything if you will simply stop limiting Him in your thinking. My dad came from the poorest of the poor families. His parents were cotton farmers, and they lost everything they owned in the Great Depression. My grandmother worked 14 to 15 hours a day washing people's clothes, earning 10 cents an hour. Many nights they'd come home and not have any food to eat. Daddy often went to school hungry or with holes in his pants and holes in his shoes. They were good people, but nobody in our family line had ever amounted to much. They lived under a curse of poverty and defeat. But one day, at 17 years of age, Daddy committed his life to Christ, and God put a dream in his heart to preach. Certainly the odds were against him. He came from the wrong family, in the wrong part of town. He didn't have any money, and had very little education. In the natural, he had no future, no hope. But God is not limited by our environment, our family background, or our present circumstances. God is only limited by our lack of faith. Daddy held that dream close to his heart. He had a hope that one day he was going to rise above that mentality of defeat and mediocrity. Not surprisingly, everybody around him tried to discourage him. They said, "John, you're never going to make it out there on your own. You better stay here with us and pick cotton. That's all you know how to do. Stay here where it's safe." But I'm so thankful that Daddy didn't listen to all the naysayers. He refused to limit God. He believed that God had more in store for him. And because he stayed focused on that dream and was willing to step out in faith, because he was willing to go beyond the barriers of the past, he broke that curse of poverty in our family. Now my siblings and I, and our children, grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren, are all going to experience more of the goodness of God because of what one man did. We affect generations to come with the decisions that we make today. If you're not experiencing God's abundant life, let me challenge you to believe for more. Don't merely sit back and accept the status quo. Don't travel the road for the next 50 years and be at the same place where you are today. Make a decision that you're going to rise out of that rut. Don't simply settle for what your parents had. You can go further than that. You can do more, have more, and be more. My dad brought our family from nothing to where it is today. When he started ministering, he knew little about the Bible. Nobody in his family had ever been a church attender, much less a Bible teacher. When Daddy first started out, he once preached an entire message on Samson, and at the end of his sermon, Daddy realized that he had been calling the hero of the story Tarzan. But Daddy got better, and as a result, I've inherited a multitude of advantages. I have Daddy's life from which to draw inspiration, his experiences, and his wisdom, which has been poured into me. Nevertheless, I say it humbly, but I believe I'm going to do far more than my dad, and I believe my son is going to do far more than me, and that his son will one day do far more than all of us combined. Friend, don't ever get satisfied with where you are. Maybe you came from a family like my dad's, where they didn't have much materially. Or maybe you came from a family with tremendous wealth, prestige, and position. Regardless, you can experience more than the generation preceding you. Maybe you hail from a long line of divorce, failure, depression, mediocrity, or other personal or family problems. You need to say, "Enough is enough. I'm not going to pass these negative attitudes down to my children. I'm going to break out of this cycle and change my expectations. I'm going to start believing God for bigger and better things." That was the attitude of Phyllis, one of our members at Lakewood. When Phyllis was 16 years old, she got pregnant and had to leave high school. Eventually, she had to go on public assistance, welfare. She was barely surviving in poverty, defeat, and despair. But Phyllis refused to live in mediocrity. She said, "Enough is enough. I refuse to pass this lifestyle down to my children. I'm going to make a difference with my life. I'm going to fulfill my God-given destiny. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be." And she rose up and started believing for bigger and better things. She started expecting the supernatural favor of God. She got rid of her former thoughts of defeat and failure. She developed a can-do mentality. Phyllis got a job at a high school cafeteria collecting kids' meal tickets. The job paid her minimum wage, and Phyllis was thankful for that. But Phyllis wasn't satisfied. She knew that God had better things in store for her. She had a bigger dream for her life. She decided she wanted to go back to school, and she got her high school diploma. But she still wasn't satisfied. She wanted to go to college. She worked all day at the school and then attended college classes at night. In just 4 years, she graduated from college with honors. But Phyllis still wasn't satisfied. She went back to school and got her master's degree. Today, she's reaping the rewards of that effort. She is a principal in the same school district where she used to collect the meal tickets. She, too, broke the curse of poverty and lack in her family. Phyllis says, "I went from welfare to fair and well." You can do something similar. Stop settling for mediocrity. Quit settling for the status quo. God has more in store for you, much more. Dream bigger dreams. Enlarge your vision. Live with expectancy. Make room in your thinking for the great things God wants to do. Your best days are ahead of you. God wants to do more than you can even ask or think. But remember, it's according to the power that works in you. Stir yourself up. Step out of complacency. Don't be satisfied with past glories. Breaking the barriers of the past. Every 4 years, the world's attention turns to the Summer Olympic Games. For a few days, men and women from around the globe gather to compete against the best. Watching the Summer Games nowadays, it's almost difficult to remember that only a few decades ago, track and field experts pompously declared that no runner could break the 4-minute-mile barrier. But one day, a young man came along who didn't believe the experts' opinions. He began to train, believing he was going to break that record. Sure enough, he went out one day and broke the 4-minute-mile barrier. He did what the experts said could not be done. His name was Roger Bannister, and he made sports history. Now here's what I find so interesting about the Roger Bannister story. Within 10 years after Roger Bannister broke that record, 336 other runners had broken the 4-minute-mile record as well. Think about that. For hundreds of years, as far back as track and field records were kept, nobody ever ran a mile in less than 4 minutes. Then, within a decade, more than 300 people from various geographic locations were able to do it. What happened? Simple. The barrier to running a 4-minute mile was in their minds. Here's the key point. You will never go beyond the barriers in your own mind. If you think you can't, then you never will. The battle is for your mind. If you are defeated in your mind, you've already lost the battle. If you don't think your dreams will ever come to pass, they never will. If you don't think you have what it takes to rise up and set that new standard, then it's not going to happen. That's what the scripture calls a stronghold. It's a wrong thinking pattern that keeps us imprisoned in defeat. And that's why it's so important that we think positive thoughts of hope, faith, and victory. Perhaps somebody has spoken negative words into your life. Maybe some so-called experts have told you that